Don Wesson and Greenwood Forest Association. How long have you lived here in Greenwood?
Probably next to Tom and Angel Cruz, about the longest. I think 82 is when they moved here.
Okay.
It was pretty primitive here. The roads were just like bogs. Actually, I bought my land sight unseen because we couldn't get back to it because the roads were so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I was able to read topographic maps since I taught that, you know, mm-hmm. in first sentence. So we basically bought this as an idea for maybe a retirement home, but to have a weekend place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had looked a lot of places, and we liked the privacy of it and the security of it, and the people actually who were selling the land.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Jack's Fork is, I don't think any of us in Greenwood would be here if it wasn't for the river. I mean, that's
right.
The primary attraction for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't made it there, but basically to go down there.
it's a beautiful stream. It's one of the most pristine rivers in Missouri, especially the upper part is pretty wild, high canyons and things like that.
Mm.
So we do a lot of water sports here, a lot of canoeing, a lot of tubing.
Mm.
This is a trophy smallmouth area from the bridge down for so many miles. Have to be 18 inches larger to keep them. So.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. But basically, canoeing is the big attraction here. We have a lot of people, especially from the St. Louis area, who come down to canoe.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And do you guys do that often yourself?
Yeah, we make about 3 trips a year, and we do a lot of tube floating. In other words, we'll take a tube and go upstream, put in, and maybe take a half a day, 3/4 of a day, and just float down on tube.
Right, nice.
And tow your container of beer or soda or whatever it is, you know, make a day out of it. So it's really neat.
Mm, that would be nice. Is there a overall purpose or ideology of the group here?
Basically, Greenwood was started, and it still is, in order to save the forest, because this was going to be clear-cut. Originally 500 acres, and that was sold in order to buy another 500 acres. So we consist of 1,000 acres now.
Mm.
So our primary goal is just to keep it from being timbered, and of course you all are from this area, but we have a lot of clear cutting going on now, and it's nothing to see a dozen big logging trucks a day going over 17, and it's just a crime because, I think we're extremely lucky with 1,000 acres like this, which basically I don't think will ever be touched.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Right.
I was talking to Debbie,
mm-hmm.
about that this forest has been clear cut one other time, a couple times before.
Yeah, back I guess around the 40s, something like that. See, these used to all be pine forests, and they came in and timbered off all the pine, and then of course this is all the second growth. You can still walk in the woods and see some pine trees half the size of this, still the trunks of them that are left, but they just timbered thousands and thousands of acres in the 40s.
Mm.
Have you been to Alley Springs? That's in Eminence?
No.
Okay, they have it's a big mill there, and they have, it's like a museum where you can go into. And they have pictures of this area, and Eminence was where they had the big lumber yard.
Mm.
And if you ever get a chance to get over there, it's amazing. I mean, they have huge blocks and blocks and blocks of logs as high as, you can't believe how massive it was, because they floated them all down these rivers and cut them off. So, but, you know, we have the oak, mainly the oak forest now.
Yeah.
Well, Eminence still has along 17, I'm trying to think of the highway that goes out of Eminence up to Salem. They still have a virgin forest there. It's never been touched by man, yeah. And it's like about a half a mile long when you drive through it. It's like a cathedral, these huge pines. It's really pretty.
Yeah, I bet that would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Hmm. So basically this is, like, everybody is unified and wanting to keep the forest.
Right.
mm-hmm.
And they've probably already told you how many acres we have and what, you know, it's, they've tried to set it up where between every 10 acres is 10 acres of common land.
Mm-hmm.
So that you might hear a hammer, but you don't ever see anybody else's house.
Yeah.
And then we have over 500 acres of common ground, which is basically on the other side of Greenwood. No one lives in there.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a map.
Okay.
A map.
Yeah.
I think I might still have it somewhere. And if they've, from, if I'm, sorry about
that. That's okay.
I stuttered there. The fact that I've talked to other people shouldn't influence really the way, the questions I'm going to be asking,
oh,
because
sure.
I want to get, you know, your perspective on things also.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I've been interviewed again by a couple years ago by a lady who's now a counselor. She was doing a paper for a course too on settlement, so you know, not the first time. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's see here. And you said already you think that the reason most people have come here is for the river. Do you think?
Well, yeah, and also to get out of the rat race. You know, we have a lot of people. Like you probably talked to Giles who moved here from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from, where was it? Atlanta, yeah. I think, you know, I am very extremely lucky, my wife and I, that we both teach, but it's hard for somebody to move down here who hasn't, there's not that many jobs down these areas.
Yeah, I think that.
And teachers, we were lucky that we could get teaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had people who come in here and have bought land and stayed for a while and then had to leave because they just, there's no jobs.
Yeah. Where did you guys come down from?
St. Louis, but we've lived in Australia and Tasmania and, you know, places like that and taught over there for a while.
Traveled around, I guess.
Yeah, and when my wife retired, we're going to travel some more.
Mm-hmm. So why do you suppose this particular area draws people? Or why did it draw you in particular? How did you find out about it?
Well, of course, living in St. Louis, I flowed this river for years, you know, fishing in the springtime, and I looked around a lot of areas around St. Louis, and I've known people who have had places like on the Cotoway and the Hoosaw. Those are very pretty little streams, but you're within an hour drive of St. Louis, and they were broken into, and they couldn't even leave their dishes in when they went home. They'd have to take their dishes with them, and I like the concept of Greenwood, too, because it's very, you know, it's private, and we see a strange car, and here we stop and want to find out what they're doing. And, but you know, the primary reason why we moved down here was just the lifestyle. It's
mm-hmm.
very slow. The town has accepted us from Greenwood very well, and you know, we have more friends down here. A lot of our friends, and it's not only me, but with the other people in Greenwood, we have a lot of friends outside the forest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who we do things with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's, you know. We wanted to get out of the rat race of St. Louis.
Mm.
We lived in Webster Groves, which is a very nice area, but I go back to this place and I think, how can people live this close together now? When you can hear somebody else's toilet flushing, or you know, next door.
Mm-hmm.
I guess living down here, after a while, you almost, I don't want to say you become a recluse, but you're very aware of being able to go outside and look around and not see another person or not even hear another car.
Yeah.
You know?
You have, it is so lovely here, walking around. They spent a lot of time down the river.
Okay. See, the government land is right there now. I board right on the edge of it, so I'm a quarter of a mile from the river straight down this whole road and down to a really beautiful swimming hole down there where we spend a lot of time. This is called Bear Ridge here. And it's on the topographic map, so I guess sometime, a long time ago, somebody must have seen a bear here. But we have seen bears in Mountain View and also in Somerville. So, you know, we're close to Arkansas, and they have a lot, you know, the bear population is growing in Arkansas. So they're starting to actually come into this area.
So you mentioned about the neighboring community here, Mountain View. Are relations good here? Have you guys ever had problems with...
When we first started here, we were a commune or called a bunch of hippies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have some strange people who have come through Greenwood. Real hippies, dirty, unkept, and they didn't make a very good impression on the
mm-hmm.
community,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they've all basically gone now. They couldn't make a living here, so they just drifted on, and I have no idea where they're at anymore, but... Yeah, we're very accepted by it, and we've brought a lot of money into Mountain View.
How's that?
Well, with all the building.
Oh, I see.
I mean, Mountain View Lumber and a lot of the other places, and of course, washers and dryers and everything like that. And so, you know, we're economically, Green was very good for Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have like, what, I think 15 families living here now, so.
Yeah. So how many people who were here at the time that you came, which they started 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you came here about 2 years after.
There's one family here.
One
was
family.
Here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we first moved here, I think there were three families.
Mm-hmm.
And one family moved, they live up in, I believe they live in Lawrence, Kansas. He teaches school up there.
What?
Burke. Ever heard of Bill Burke and Nancy Burke?
No.
Well, they taught up in Alaska for a while, but I believe they live in Lawrence, Kansas.
Hmm.
They still own land here, but they come down once a year.
Yeah. And do the vacation home thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did you, that's kind of difficult because you didn't come necessarily for the community part, but did you read any books or literature or magazines?
No, we had no desire really to live in a commune.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have been younger, maybe so, but I like my freedom. I don't like to be regimented,
mm-hmm.
and have to have a meal at a certain time and
right.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have found it very difficult. I think maybe if I would have been 18 or 20, it would have been different, you know,
mm-hmm.
but after you're so old, you're set in your ways and it's very difficult, so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess everybody else talked to you kind of, you know, we get together occasionally, but there are people in Greenwood where we don't have a thing to do with them.
Yeah.
Not that we, basically we don't have that much in common,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think each family here kind of has a group of people that they spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, no, you know. We do have the annual meeting, the annual picnic. In June, annual meeting is in October,
mm-hmm.
and this is basically when we all get together. But there are a few families that I've seen, you know, I see three or four times a year who live in Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then how frequently do you see the others? Like people who you see more?
Well, now, you haven't met the LeBlancs. They live right around the curve. And he's a lawyer who got burned out in being a lawyer in New Orleans. And his wife is going to be having her own clinic. She's in a nursing program now at Cape,
mm-hmm.
and he teaches at a couple of universities around here, teaches law courses.
Oh, yeah.
So I see them quite often because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right,
he and I fish together, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night, they were, 3 of the guys, we had 6 guys here for card game, poker game. We try to get together once a month, but we have like 3 or 4 of them in Greenwood who come.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see each other that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you take part in the Wednesday night soup things?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. We're good things about us.
Yeah, and that's kind of neat of Debbie to do that, and because it does. For a while last year, we had community once a week dinners at the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's talk about maybe starting that up again. So,
and that, not yeah. the whole community?
It was whoever wanted to come,
oh,
you
I
know.
See.
Now we do have... families here who have never been to the soup dinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's their choice. I mean, everybody knows where it is if they want to
right.
show up, fine. And a lot of us don't make it all the time either, you know,
mm-hmm.
so.
Is there any other, I know I've heard a little bit about some of the communal property here, but on the common land, can you tell me, like, are there buildings here there?
Well, on common, yeah, we have the pavilion,
mm-hmm.
And then we have the well, in the well house, and then we have an old building up there where we have electricity for those who want to have a freezer who don't happen to have electricity.
Right.
So basically those are the only things that are built on common ground now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about a child's playground,
mm-hmm.
and that's still probably in the future, but it's difficult to get individuals to agree on things, you know. When we put the Greenwood well in, which was back in the mid-80s, it took months and months and months just to decide where to put it,
mm-hmm.
because everybody wanted it close to them,
right.
because at that time none of us had a well and we had to haul water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got to, after about a year of hauling water and rusting the back out of a Ford Bronco, and I decided, hey, I'm going to invest in having a well.
Mm-hmm.
So
how long did you go without the well?
I guess about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be able to get water from the Careys.
Mm-hmm.
See, Bill Carey was the one who started all this.
Right.
And then when we wrested power away, the people in Greenwood back here took over and we elected our own president, and we took over and absorbed the monies that was from still left from Greenwood. Then we put our own well in.
Mm.
Just basically because people got tired of having to go up there. And it was inconvenient for us to bother them.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a while we actually hauled water from town.
Mm.
Yeah, mm. What a pain.
Can you tell me a little bit about Ken Carey? Just from your personal take, nobody's been here as long as you, so I'd be interested to hear.
Ken is pretty much, I guess you almost say a loner. He doesn't really have that much to do with Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Ken was involved for a while last year in Greenwood, but now just his wife is on the board. But there would be years would go by when I wouldn't see Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So
was he real active in the beginning, or did he?
Well, yeah, it was he and Terry Tarowski, and then Ken's brother. And, of course, they were the board,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they did run everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when we, well, there was very little road work done, if anything,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't want to spend any money back in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we finally got enough boats where we could wrest the power away
mm-hmm.
and then take over Greenwood. So after that, he dropped out. We just really never seen him again.
Mm-hmm. So
you know, I see him once in a while. But
he doesn't have an active part in it?
No.
So they allowed you guys votes on major matters, or was it?
Yeah, major matters, and every owner had one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now some people owned two parcels, so they had two votes.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a long time. I mean, it took quite a number of years before we were able to get enough votes where we could actually take over control of Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when we started building these roads up.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a road budget every year that we put so much money into them. But when we first moved there, it was, you couldn't get back to a lot of these places in the springtime. You just sink up to you sit down on the frame of the car. The roads were so bad. So we were able to do that and put a well, and that was a biggie, you know.
Right. How did you get around during this time? Because you were living here before the river.
Yeah, in the springtime, we'd drive our cars up on top of the hill and park them up there. And have to walk and carry food down because the roads would be so bad.
Mm.
So for a great number of years, we put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year into these roads.
Mm.
You could take a big boulder and throw it right into the middle of the road and it would just sink out of sight in the mud. And you could drive these roads actually without even touching the steering wheel because of the grooves. And you would just sit there and the car would follow the ruts.
Goodness.
And everybody, you know, I had a winch. I used to winch people out who were stuck in the.
Mm-hmm.
We had people who lost a lot of mufflers and tailpipes,
mm-hmm.
dragging the bottoms.
Well, we've all commented on, it's going to take a lot to.
Yeah, we have some, in fact, we have some of the better roads probably in the county, you know. Our president now, who is Tim Rail, is the one who does the roads, and
mm-hmm.
he's really excellent. He just worked on them last week. That's why they look so nice now.
Wow.
We have in the springtime and in the fall, we have a major grading, you mm-hmm. know, when they grade and we put down gravel and stuff like that. But that's one of the primary things we spend money on because, you know, people, we've got a lot of people here who work outside the community now and they have
right.
to get out.
Yeah.
we do have ice storms here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when you can't get out of the forest because the tree's been down so badly over the road that you'll get stuck in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that doesn't happen too often. Occasionally, Flat Rock Creek will flood and you'll get stuck and can't get across it because the water will be 4 or 5 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember Flat Rock, probably don't, but it's where you come down a long hill and you cross a kind of a wide area, but that sometimes will run 5 or 6 foot deep, that water mm-hmm. through there. But that's only a couple times a year. You know.
Your day off from work.
Yeah. Right.
Get stuck at home, can't go. Let's see here. Can you tell me a little bit about the organizational structure of the community?
Well, we have a president, and we have a vice president, we have the treasurer, and then we have the board members.
Mm-hmm. And they're elected?
They're elected, if I remember, I think it's a 3-year term.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the board, off and on the board, for about 18 years now. So, there are times when I would like to get off the board and let somebody else run it, but this is the problem. We don't have that many people here, you know.
Right.
And we have a lot of people who got burnt, who have been on the board and had problems dealing with the, well, let's face it, you know, occasionally we used to get pretty argumentative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these people who actually lived in came to the community were people who didn't want to get involved,
mm-hmm.
and didn't want to get into decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it fell down just a few of us who have been on the board year after year after year. You know.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but it's just, you know, it's a thankless job, but we've got to run it.
What kind of things do you have to deal with in running it since you've been on for 18 years?
Oh, just making decisions like, say, the well, where to put the pavilion. We do have a composting toilet up there,
mm-hmm.
Which we had to make a decision where to put that, and we've talked about where to put the child's playground.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is a big thing. We just got electricity a year ago.
Mm.
It was a year ago this past fall. So up until that time, we used nothing but solar.
Mm.
And we had a propane refrigerator, propane generator, which ran our well.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a, you came through the cutover area. Okay, mm-hmm. that doesn't belong to Greenwood, see. In other words, in Greenwood, you have to go underground with everything. And that's where the cost is so much. We split, three of us, we paid about $3,500 a piece to get the electricity, right? So it goes all the way from where that tree started up again, all the way around the curve up there.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an electric committee. You know, we had all kinds of committees to try to figure out how to get electricity, and of course there are some people who don't want electricity.
Right.
I love it. I mean, I really do. It's so nice to have a washer and dryer now and not have to haul your clothes into town to do it and things like that.
So do most people, I assume, don't have washers and dryers?
No. A lot depends upon where you are, too. See, there's one main trunk line which goes across Greenwood.
Right.
And those people who are near there are able to get electricity, but the rest of us, we had to, you know, they had to bring a feeder line in, and of course we had to get permission from the guy who owned that land to give us permission, and he was very nice. He said all I wanted was the logs out of it, so they didn't even charge us a penny, you know, to bring it in.
That's
nice. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you went for, like, 17 years with solar heating?
Yeah. Solar panels for electricity. We had deep cycle batteries,
mm-hmm.
and propane refrigerator. Now, we've always had propane stove because we have a tank and they come out and fill
right.
things like that, you know.
Hmm.
But it's a whole new world. And of course, you know, when both of us were teaching in the wintertime, actually, at one time we used to run a trailer in Somersville and stay there because it was so difficult to get up, you know, in the dark,
mm-hmm.
and light Coleman lanterns and stuff like that to get dressed. And it's, you know, it's all right if you're not working, but
exactly.
You know, you spend a lot of time just trying to survive, where a flip of a switch would be, it was so nice.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably
oh, we got the microwave,
every time you turn it on.
Mixers, and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we have a herb business, my wife and I. See, we're Bear Ridge Herb Farm. So we raise ginseng, golden seal, echinacea, and we make a whole line of tinctures. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what tinctures?
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of people don't. You know, with the alcohol or the glycerite.
Mm-hmm.
So having electricity has really helped us with that too, because I've got to use a blow dryer to put the heat seal on the bop, and I used to have to go all the way up to the well house and take all my stuff up there,
mm-hmm.
and my hair dryer and all the bottles and everything, even just to do the sealing of the bottles. So electricity has really helped a lot.
Can you hold on for a second?
Sure.
Okay.
We're so spoiled in Lawrence compared to here. I
mean, oh, yeah.
I like this country, but to bring in topsoil and...
Sure. In fact, I got a... I'm making a new garden area, and I'm buying a load of dirt to be brought in. It's just, you can't go 2 or 3 inches down without hitting rock here. It's just really poor soil. But, yeah, ginseng and golden seal, see, they need 75-80% shade. So that grows great down here out in the woods, you know. But the rest of it, I do. We buy some herb places. And then I sell potted plants in the springtime in nurseries, ginseng, golden seal plants. They should be coming up pretty soon now. And so around the 1st of May is when I deliver them, you know, Gilbert's is a real big one out in St. Louis County, a real yuppie place. And thought they really sold a lot of them, ginseng goes with plants, and their pot is about that tall. They make a real nice, you know, if somebody wants to put two or three a month in a little herb garden.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off of this.
Oh, that's all right. What you're talking about is helpful, too. That's
okay.
Is that
but that's not one way we make a living, but it supplements our income, mm-hmm. and it's a good tax write-off, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it also gets me out in the community because we're going to be in Earth Day over in West Plains now, so we'll have a booth and we'll be selling our products over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the internet, and so... You know, we've met a lot of people just basically through our little business like
business.
That.
Mm-hmm. And I think if I remember right, it's in, you cannot use any sort of pesticides.
No,
it's
right.
All organic here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have problems with people doing the opposite of that? Or have you ever found that?
Well, we've all used sprays for hornets and wasps mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And, you know, you have to live with these things and rather than getting stung to death.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have used stuff, Roundup, I'm sure, on poison ivy.
Mm.
You know, there's just no way to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You just can't get the roots out. But we all try to follow the practice pretty well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the, we tried raising grapes for a while, and we don't get enough air current down here. So we always would end up getting mold, and finally French hybrids I put in, and we lost them all. I never did get a grape off them. I mean, they would grow beautifully, and then all of a sudden they would get this black rot in them, and they would mummify. And I used all organic stuff on that, and I just couldn't save them. We tried fruit trees, and the deer eat all those.
Yeah, I've heard the deer really just ravish gardens down here.
Yeah, I'm worried about mine. I'm going to have to put fence up, I guess, unless I tie my dog down there.
have you guys ever had a communal... garden or anything like that?
We tried. did you see the clearing?
Yes.
Okay, it's a natural clearing. Evidently, they used to drive cattle through here. I've heard words, and that's where they used to stake them out for a while and on the trip. But we tried a communal garden there, the three of us, and one of the problems was we never fenced it. And we couldn't haul enough water in. You know, everything we did, we tried to haul in, and we tried it one season, we gave up. It was just too far away from everybody.
Yeah. Have there been any other communal ventures? Yeah.
No, there hasn't. I know we've, you know, we talked about one time of having a movie theater in town. And, of course, I do stained glass, and, you know, I have stained glass, you know, through it. Well, there's someone in the other room over there, too. But I was supposed to make stained glass, and then somebody else was going to, they were going to have all vegetarian food, and I look at Mountain View, and I think, uh-uh. you know, you're going to get a few people, but the majority of people are not going to come in and eat veggie burgers and things like that. So, no, really, we've never really had any community organization like, or to make funds, money like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Not like East Wind or, have you been to East Wind?
Heard about it.
Okay.
And actually one of the people who lives there came to our class and talked to us.
Okay, yeah. I've been to East Wind. That's pretty neat. You know, I mean, they, of course, they share everything.
Yeah.
And you talk to Laurel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now she and Larry, her husband, lived, I think, in a commune out in California.
Yeah, exactly.
And where everything was real close and stuff like that. So,
have you ever been interested personally in doing anything like that, like beforehand? I mean, I know you said that you didn't come to this for that, but...
No, not really.
No?
I love it. I love it where I'm at back here. And if I hear a car, you know, maybe once or twice a day, but we can be back here 2-3 days and never hear a car other than my neighbor.
Mm.
So... But we have people who come down here who say, how can you handle the solitude of not hearing a door slam or a car honk or, you know, or tires squealing? And some people need that. But we feel like this is really a special place back here in Greenwood. Like I say, we've lived in Australia and we live in Tasmania. And when we were over there, I kept thinking of the Ozarks because I don't think I mean, I've been all over the United States, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and places like that, and up into Canada and Alaska. But I just, there's something about the Ozarks that mm-hmm. you find nowhere else. It's a special place.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the things about it, too, is that I don't believe, I can't see that it ever will be developed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just nothing down here, other than maybe a plant or something like that, that could sustain a large population of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very poor area.
Mm-hmm.
teaching, you know, my wife is a special ed teacher in Mountain View, with the BD. And some of these families are extremely poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just barely scrape by.
Yeah.
So that's another deterrent for people actually moving down here. Most of our friends that we know are not from this area. They're from California or so and so on, different places who moved into the area just to get away from the urban sprawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can remember when we first moved down here, you could not get a cup of coffee in Mountain View on Sunday. Everybody, the churches were gone and not one restaurant was open. You have to drive 20 miles of Birch Street if you wanted to have breakfast. It was a big thing when Walmart moved in. I mean, that was a real biggie. And we finally got a little mall, so mm-hmm. to speak, of a few stores. Mm-hmm. Stuff. Yeah, so.
It seems like a nice little town.
It is, and the people are very, very friendly and very helpful, too. And it's nice to go in, and if you're away for a while and somebody says, you know, they recognize you, where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a few years ago that you could go into any grocery store and they'd have checks right there. You could write a check out for whatever you bought.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
So do most of the people who live here work in the town, in it, or surrounding towns?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Larry Sweet does his chiropractor work or his massage therapy. And like I said, Frank over here teaches at a couple of universities. He's the... he just is the director now of the Mountain View Civic Center. He just got that job. Mm-hmm. And then his wife's going to be a nurse. My wife teaches. And I did teach in Somersville, and I still do some substituting here at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught at the university, SBU, here in town. I taught night courses there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, basically everybody, now you met... Mark and Candy, and
mm-hmm.
they do theirs over the
internet
mm-hmm. right, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
There's Maggie and Vernon Morgan, who are pottery. They
mm-hmm.
they make pottery, and they have their own kiln,
mm-hmm.
so they make a living. And he's the city planner in Springfield, so he's there all week, and then he comes here on weekend.
Okay.
But she lives here
mm-hmm.
full time. They both live here, basically. I mean, they have their home, everything here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she... And Debbie is, well, Debbie doesn't work.
I got that. She volunteers a lot, though, it seems.
Yes, right.
She's very
uh-huh.
active.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have an open door membership here? Which is kind of a weird question, I know, but like, as far as, say, if I wanted to move here,
mm-hmm.
like,
sure.
what are my options for moving here?
Basically, that you would agree to... in other words, we have things written into the, as far as building,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to have a composting toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a gray water system so that your waste doesn't go right out.
Mm-hmm.
You can only develop a certain amount of your property, so
mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about somebody coming in and raising pigs next door and clearing
right.
10 acres and turning it into a pig farm.
Mm-hmm.
We asked, you know, if you move in and you want to live in a trailer, that's fine while you're building, but we wouldn't want anybody living permanently in a trailer court, you know, and turning
right.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of that is based on trust of the people. We don't have a Gestapo who go around and check
mm-hmm.
and see that you're doing everything. And we know that there are people in Greenwood right now who, you know, some of them don't meet the codes. Some of them, we hope that somewhere down the road that they will.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a gray water system or a composting toilet like that. But,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of us really try to follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
The, you know, things of Greenwood. Basically, to keep it a place that's environmentally safe and clean.
Mm-hmm. Are there options for, because I imagine a 10-acre plot of land is not cheap by any means. Are there options for people who don't have the that money? Are there payment plans, or do you have to pay it all up front? Or
I think it, probably 99% of the people who bought in here were able to pay the, you know, the price. And it may have been that people were making payments. I just don't really know in the early days. See, Greenwood really, we only have like a couple parcels for sale. All the rest of it, if anything is being sold, it's being sold by private owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's between the people who are buying it and them, you know.
Right.
Right.
So nothing else is for sale under, or does Greenwood own?
Greenwood has, I think, two or three parcels that, actually, one, a couple of, well, one lady and her husband died and they didn't come anymore, so she willed her property to Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the original people to buy in Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Never lived here, but, you know, like the idea of saving the land, stuff like that.
Does that happen frequently here? I mean, are there a lot of plots that are bought that people don't live on? And
well, yeah, there are a lot of plots here where people come once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, it's been a week vacation,
right.
You know. Because there's so much you can do here. Big Springs over in Van Buren, if you ever get a chance to go see that, it's one of the largest springs in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's about 25 miles from here.
Mm-hmm.
Eminence, again, has the big museum, or the museum over there in Alley Springs. And so a lot of people just come and they'll, you know, they can camp. They set up their camper up out in the the big field out there, and they can use the water. You know, we have water that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll spend their summers here. Mm-hmm. Summer's pretty busy. We've got a lot of people here.
Yeah, so there are a lot more people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And then a lot of people, the ones who have recently been buying are from St. Louis, so they can actually come down here. You know, it's a three-hour drive from here to St. Louis, so they're able to come down like on a Friday night and get down here and still spend the weekend.
Yeah, that's great.
We did that for 6 years, my wife and I, when we were teaching. We taught up there, and we came down every weekend. And when I reached 62, and I could have taught 3 more years, but we just couldn't see 3 more years of living up there and coming down here.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting the critters. We had raccoons in here and black snakes and everything under the sun.
Oh, my.
You know, because once you leave something vacant, okay, things move in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing. Let's see. And you said relations with the town are good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Really good.
One of the questions in here that is always kind of amusing is, have there been any unforgettable characters? Has there anybody come here that you just...
No, yeah.
Would you care to share any stories or anecdotes?
I often say there's a book. There's a book here in Greenwood, right? One of them was a fellow by name, a River Rat. I don't really know what his real name was. And he was brought here by one of the members from Michigan, I believe, and left.
Mm.
And he more or less just flopped on her land for a while. River Rat was quite a character. He did help build this place.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things he said before he left here, he was going to make love to every woman in Greenwood.
Oh,
which, if you saw River Rat, you would say, no way. But he was quite a character. He was known to stand on the bluff on the river and flash with a raincoat. And the park department personnel were trying to catch him. They never did catch him. He left. Who else? Well, basically, the rest of them are still here. And, you know, I don't want to comment on them. But he's one that...
That's the most reason.
Yeah, right. And, you know, he wasn't really Greenwood, but... he didn't make a very good impression. So some of the early people who came here would go in the Mountain View dirty.
Mm.
In fact, there was one individual who they wouldn't even let in a restaurant. She would be so dirty. So that didn't make us look very good.
Mm.
When my friend, who just retired from teaching, came here for the first time, he was trying to find us. And he stopped somebody up on Highway 17 and says, how do I find Greenwood? She said, oh, you want that there hippie commune. And so when he came back here, he said, my God, what did you move into, you know?
Mm.
So that's what we were basically known as for a while, you know, hippie commune. And I'm sure that they thought maybe we were having human sacrifices back here.
Yeah, of course, if not worse.
Right, but now we're, like I say, we're very accepted, and we have people who actually, you know, who work in the community and have done a lot for the community, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's very good to have good relationships with the surrounding communities. What are the best and worst things about community life you can think of?
Well, of course, you know, comparing this with other communities, what I like about it is the freedom to have my own parcel, to be able to intermingle with people that I want to and not that I have to.
Right.
You know, I can see we're living in a community where everything was shared. You might hate some individual's guts, but you would have to be there with them every day, maybe to have dinner or whatever it might be. I like the privacy, you know. To me, those are the important things. And you can spend as much time or as little time with whoever you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to your choice. We could live back here and not have a thing to do with anybody, and it would be accepted. Nobody would, you know, try to boot us out or anything like
right.
that.
Right. What's the worst thing?
The worst thing?
I think so.
I can't really think of anything negative. Do I have to think of anything negative?
No, you don't have to. A couple of people have said that.
Right? Yeah. No, I don't really have anything negative in Greenwood. I think we got a nice bunch of people in here, and very helpful people, and very loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, majority of us are like family. You know, that we would do anything in the world to help you out. And this, to me, is you would never find living in a city somewhere.
Probably not.
You know, I live in Webster Groves, and I knew two or three neighbors around me, but I never knew anybody who lived the rest of the block.
Mm.
So,
you don't.
No.
I kind of want to jump back, and then I'll get back to where we are now. You mentioned that.
One other thing, I think I like the safety of it too.
Safety.
We never lock our doors.
Just because people would stop.
We've never had any break-ins. Nothing stolen. The only thing that happened was basically by kids who lived in Greenwood. You know,
yeah.
And they were just curious and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I feel very safe. I feel like I can be gone for a month and never have to worry about anybody breaking in because, like I say, anytime we see a strange person, we stop and want to find out what they're doing in there. So, it's a very safe place to live. It's a great place to raise kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever find that people get nosy around here, though? I mean, it seems like if everybody's watching out for each other so much, do you ever?
No.
Have
no, and you know, if I go somewhere, I can ask Larry to feed my dog and my cats while we're gone for a week, and I'll do the same thing for him or Frank and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really neat.
Yeah, that is very nice.
You know, my wife just moved down last year. See, she taught for 3 years and commuted on weekends down, and I was down here by myself, and. She still, to this day, locks the car out here, and I'll go out to get in it, and I have to come in and get the keys because she's so programmed to lock the car all the time. You know.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't worry about anybody stealing anything.
Mm.
That's kind of really unique in today's world.
Yeah, it's extremely unique in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. So there's nothing that's the worst.
No.
You mentioned that when you were talking about that fellow River Rat, you said that he helped you build this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like, we had moved the original cabin in here. We bought it in Louisville, Missouri. It was built by a German family in 1850. And so we dismantled and brought it in by tractor trailer and then had it setting down under big tarps. So when we moved down here, we lived in a tent, my wife and I, for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the forest would come over, and the women would cook and make the big meals, and all the kids would play, and all the men would work.
Mm-hmm.
When we first came down, we had to pitch a tent in the road because this was nothing but timber. And so this has all been cleared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was very primitive.
Mm-hmm.
So all the guys would get together, and we cleared the land, and we put the log cabin up.
Did that happen frequently then?
Yeah, I've helped put up about three other houses too, and so if somebody Well, you met Wildflower, right?
No, I didn't get to meet him.
You met Wildflower, okay. Larry Sweet, I helped him build his place, his barn, and put in his house.
Mm-hmm.
Another family by the name of Corcoran, who no longer live here, but I helped build that one. And, you know, we just thought that's kind of like a community thing, I would
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
You know.
And say, like with this girl, or using Mark and
Yeah, Mark and Candy, right.
If they were to build a house. Would
sure.
you all go out and help
Oh,
them?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
It doesn't happen that often, but when it does happen, we all, you know, I mean, it's not like somebody's building every month or
right,
so.
Right.
Maybe once a year, but we do that mm-hmm. together.
Did you build the pavilion communally, or did you
yeah.
have... Oh, yeah?
No, I'm sorry. That was done by somebody local. We put mm-hmm. it out for bids,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because, again, it's kind of hard for us because most of us are working.
Yeah,
you know.
Gosh, that would be difficult.
Right.
Mm. Well, I think that's pretty much all that I have to ask you. Is there anything that you would like to say? Any other anecdotes? Anything that you think is crucial about Greenwood that I haven't covered?
No, other than, like I said, we all basically... are from all different walks of life, but we get together, you know, a few times a year, like float trips,
mm-hmm.
Tubing, annual meetings and swims and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you can be as private or as you want, and I think that's the neat thing about living in this type of a environment. I can't even really call it a community, I guess, other than that, you know, as far as monies. You know, we do. You know, we do pay an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once a year. But I think the best thing is that each individual can basically do what he wants,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and get involved as much or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought of another question. I've talked to both Laurel and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim. About, they both seem interested in having like a co-housing project go on here. You know, they had both talked about building two houses on one plot and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, not particularly.
No, and I think a lot of that, you know, those families have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes kids get awful lonely in Greenwood
yeah.
because, you know, either we'll have a mob of girls or we'll have a poor, you know, Larry's boy. I think
Josh.
He's Josh,
mm-hmm.
right? He's the only boy other than Wildflower had one, but he's little.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Josh, I know, gets lonely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I could see where families would want to get together if you had kids,
mm-hmm.
something like that. But
so you wouldn't want to like have somebody else build another house on your land and have somebody else move in with you?
No.
Okay.
My son talks about someday moving down. He lives in
mm-hmm.
St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and they just had a baby. So, and of course, you know, it would be nice if they moved,
mm-hmm.
but again, how's he going to make a living?
Yeah. Did your son grow up here?
No. He grew up in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh,
he was
oh.
in Australia with us, too, in
mm-hmm.
Tasmania when we lived there.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves it down here. You know, and my mm-hmm. granddaughters come down here, and they cry when they have to go home. One of them's 10, and the other one's 8.
Mm-hmm.
And they come down here, and it's so neat because they can go out, and you don't worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put their little packs on their back, and they'll get together with there's another little girl who's right around the road here,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go out and find a rock and have lunch on it and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
you know, in the city you'd be scared to death of having that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah, it's a very nice, safe haven. Garden.
Yeah, we thank Ken Carey. I mean, I can't thank that man enough for coming up with the idea of doing this. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
So.
Very wonderful idea. I'm grateful that there are people like you guys out here taking care of things. You know.
Yeah, and I keep seeing these logging trucks, and we keep saying one of these days we're going to have 1,000 acres, and this will be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of any other community like ours.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the other ones have much more community.
Yeah. The only other one, I was planning on going to visit it tomorrow, It's called Sweetwater. It's by Mansfield. Are you familiar with Sweetwater at all?
No, I've heard the name, but I've never been there.
And I don't really know anything about them, except when I called the guy to ask if I could interview him, he said, well, I'll probably be the only person who will want to talk to you. So I think they're probably way less communal than you guys.
That could be. We did have, it could have been Sweetwater who came in the early years of Greenwood and wanted to find out how to start a community like ours.
They have, it's called Sweetwater Land Trust, I think. So they have basically the same organization, but I think that they're more individual, probably even more so than here. Because everybody here seems to have been like, oh, sure, you can talk to me, I'll talk to you, that's great. Yeah. You know?
Well, you're getting into, when you get down around Mansfield down in there, there's some survivalist groups and stuff that live down that area, too.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So,
should we be careful?
It'd be interesting.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's about all.
I wanted to ask you, is Nancy Burt, who you said lived here, and her husband, are they doctors?
No, they're teachers.
Okay. Because I know a woman and her husband named Nancy Burt, and they're doctors. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I believe they're, I know for a while they were living up in Alaska, and the last, I swear they said they were living in Lawrence Beach, I'm not sure. How big a town is Lawrence now?
I think it's, is it 60,000 without students?
Yeah, that sounds right.
60,000 without students, and then there are...
So you got quite a few schools in
there. About
20,000 students, something like that. We just have University of Kansas. And
no, I meant elementary. Elementary high school.
Yeah, there seems like there's an elementary school on every block.
Yeah.
And then there are, is it three high schools or just two?
Three
high schools.
Right. Yeah, well, they've probably worked in one of those schools. But they come down once a year. Next time I'll have to find out. That's the big thing is we had that in October, I guess. First weekend in October, we have a big picnic and a barbecue, and then we had music. And Frank plays the guitar and the mandolin, and we have outside, we have dulcimer players and everything. So we have a real big picnic, and we have quite a number of people. We have a big barbecue and a barrel of beer and volleyball and all that stuff, you know. So lots of times that's the one time people come.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and shut it off here, unless you have any last remarks?
No.
Okay.